Welcome to Calvary Chapel. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 143 as we continue our study through the praises, the Psalms. You know, just as I was preparing and praying, and then we watch that, and the church today, especially in America, do we take for granted what God has done for us? And I was watching a little bit of the West Coast Pastors Conference and just the reminder of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the gift that God had given, you know, and certainly through the teaching of the Word and through the moving and the power of His Holy Spirit. The movement that we have today, are we trying to sustain it by works, by our just, you know, coming and or are we here to bless the Lord and to praise the Lord and to glorify the Lord and to seek, you know, those songs just took me back, you know. As we gather, we anticipate the moving of your Spirit here. As we begin to praise your name, is that, I hope, if it wasn't our purpose for being here, that kind of changed things. And you know, the Psalms are about praise and prayer. So just, man, I want the Spirit to move again. The way that he moved, you know, through and with Pastor Chuck and the pastors that first were called to ministry and to go out and to teach the word and to preach the gospel, and how it captured hearts. You know, watching what happened last night, and you know, all the hype of the vote in the different states and stuff like that, and our culture values death and sorcery more than it values righteousness and humility. Another state, Ohio, joined the states that have ratified their constitution for the killing of babies for abortion. That was more important than the other issues that were on the docket. And now you can freely smoke dope down in Ohio, just like in Michigan. And it's rolling through the states, and I wonder if we haven't come to that Rubicon, the point of no return for the nation. But the sadder thing is, it's an issue and is even a discussion within the church. And I don't believe that anywhere that the Holy Spirit is moving and guiding, that those should even be an issue or a consideration. And so many other things, but those are on the forefront. Our culture values death. There is a death cult that has taken grip of the United States of America. And God's word and God's hope and God's desire is life. Why? You know, Ezekiel 33:11, it says, I was going to quote it, but I'm not going to. Ezekiel 33:11, talking to the children of Israel, this is God's heart. It says that, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel? Why should you die? And he presents, you know, and he comes to man and he says, you can choose good or you can choose evil. You can choose life or you can choose death. And the Spirit of God says, choose life. And we understand that the Word of God says that God, that Christ came that we might have life, and we might have that life more abundantly. Are we going through the motions? Are we taking for granted how much God loves us? How much God loves you? Lord, we just lift up our hearts and open our hearts. And Lord, I pray if anybody came tentative or questioning whether or not you really love them, Lord, or whether, Lord, wherever they're at in their walk, Lord, that maybe you just can't forgive them. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would refresh and renew. Lord, that you would revive us. That you would give us a desire for a fresh move of your Holy Spirit, Lord. That all the other things would just be removed, Lord, of whatever burdens that we've come in with. Lord, that they'd be washed away in your presence by the washing of the water of your word, that you would draw us in, Lord, and that we would hear and see your heart. And so we just pray that you'd speak through your servant David in these psalms. And we ask that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Psalm 143 is a psalm of David. And remember the perspective. David writes these things from that perspective, understanding. I mean, David had high highs and low lows. He made his own personal mistakes, and yet at the same time was being pursued by the enemies constantly. He found himself in the presence of enemies, you know, and pursued even by his own son. He in his home. His home was a mess. He had a son that raped his stepsister, and then the brother of the steps of the daughter killed the son that raped his stepsister. Absalom despised his father, grew up, usurped his authority, took over as king, and pursued his father to kill him. And we have all of those things going on and understanding. Listen, whatever's going on in your life, the highest highs, the darkest, you know, the darkest days, those are that's when you should go to the Lord in prayer. And I think that, you know, one of the greatest healing, spiritual healing activities that we could take upon ourselves is to praise Him in those times, regardless of what's going on in our lives. It's the time, you know, those times that we think that we've failed too badly. God couldn't possibly forgive us, that we tend to withdraw from Him. When David, all the examples, it didn't matter what was going on in David's life, that was a time that he would draw close to the Lord. He would go to the Lord in prayer or in praise. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplication. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant. For in your sight, no one living is righteous." And we know that our righteousness, God says, your righteousness is filthy before Him. Just the crazy thing, you know, oh, I'm a good person. The modern psychology is saying that people are, you know, basically good. Well, what does the Bible say about us? Because we know what sin has done in Romans. And this is, you know, no one living is righteous. Psalm 14, Psalm 53, and Paul picks it up and says this, what then are we better than, Romans chapter 3, verse 9, are we better than they? Not at all. We have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But Paul says this, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And we have seen, you know, I've seen in my own life that move of the Holy Spirit and a revival that happened among the hippies, the Jesus Revolution, you know, to where we are now in our society. That, and sad, you know, you hear, it's like, well, you know, that's a lie. Well, everybody lies. That's what they accept. That's what they've accepted today. That's what our society accepts today. But there's no one living that is righteous, for the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness or dark places like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. And, you know, we all go through those, right? Those times where it's just dark places, stinking thinking. Dark thoughts. There is, listen, when you're there, you are vulnerable to the enemy. The enemy it will look, you know, for the chink in the armor when you're in those places. And he is going to attack. David understood that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're told this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Talking about the enemy, the strongholds of the enemy. Casting down arguments. Casting down, you know, the idea, I said stinking thinking. Casting down bad ideas. And we come up with some bad ideas, don't we? You know, it's in those times, just like I said, we withdraw from God, but it seems like it's at the same time that we withdraw from the people that we really need to be around that can come alongside us and strengthen us. We see people withdraw from fellowship, and when that happens, they become a prime target for the enemy. You become a prime target for the enemy, and I know that it's in those times, you know, the pity party, whatever's going on, you know, in your head and in your heart. And, you know, what we need to recognize is that's the time when we need to press in to our brothers and sisters, but press into the Lord. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The knowledge of God. What do we know about God? He's love. He's loving. He's merciful. He's patient. He's kind. He's gracious. He loves us. He is only good. What is it that, you know, what is it that happens in those times that we don't recognize that? And obviously we're thinking on the human level, on, you know, from the flesh, because others have failed us and we have failed, but God never fails, and we need to remember that. That's the time we need to remember that. He never fails. He's faithful to be only good. And those are the times that he's sitting there, he's waiting for his children to come to him. and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. He says, I remember the days of old. He remembers God's remembers God's faithfulness. That's the time when you go back and all the times that God has seen you through, the hard times, the dark times, the times of doubt, the times of the crisis of faith, maybe that you've gone through or maybe you're here in tonight. Remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hand. I ponder the work of your hand. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Knowing God never fails, he says, stop and think about that for a minute. Whatever you're at right, tonight, remember. I mean, it's amazing to me that I'm even here today. And it's only by his grace and what he has done throughout my life. When I was walking with him, when I wasn't walking with him, when I was in obedience to what he had for my life and his will for my life, and when I was in disobedience. He's delivered me here tonight. He's delivered you here to hear his word, and to be reminded of all that he's done in your life. To be reminded of what a great God he is. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. And now he says, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. I can't do this without you. We need all be reminded of that at times. We can't do it without him. The interesting thing is that the morning sacrifice daily in the tabernacle, the temple, always started with the sacrifice of the lamb. The morning sacrifice was the sacrifice of the lamb in the morning. Sometimes we get too busy or too much in a rush to spend that time and have the morning sacrifice to the Lord and ask him and seek him, And I do it. I'll do it at times. Lord, cause me to hear, hear you in your loving kindness and to know that I'm walking in your way, Lord, to stop and allow you to give me direction. We know that God makes his plans. God directs every step. If we let him. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me. So cause me to hear your loving kindness. Cause me to know the way I should walk. Now teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Teach me to do your will. I know that Jesus said, if anybody wishes to follow me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. That should be a daily prayer. The morning sacrifice, Lord. Teach me to take up my cross and follow you. Your spirit is good. The Holy Spirit is only good. Why is this happening? Why are you doing this to me, Lord? He's only good. So many people, they walk away from the Lord or they're kind of despondent because, whether there's an illness in the life or they see what's going on in the world today, and they say, how can God do that? How can God allow that? That God's not doing that. His spirit is only good. He invites us to come to reason with him and to know his goodness. What's going on in this world is what man is, what sin has done to this world and what man is doing to man. You are, your spirit is good. Your Holy Spirit is good. Think about that. He's good. He's good. And lead me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Lead me to a life that is uncompromised to our culture and what our culture values today. As I said again, look at what our culture values today. It values the self, what's best for the self. It values it values death. It values sorcery. Revive me, O Lord. So cause me to hear your loving kindness. Cause me to know the way I should walk. You know, David, this is great. And going to him and being reminded of those things and that, you know, we can't do it without him. How many of you have thought that you're a self-made person, at least BC, before Christ? You know, we've learned that we're not self-made. I can't remember who it was. It was a pastor and somebody came, I'm a self-made. I think maybe it was J. Vernon McGee. Somebody in his fellowship came and said, I'm a self-made man. And J. Vernon McGee said, really, what part did you make? You know? But to understand, you know, that cause me to teach me and lead me and then revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies, put an end to my enemies, and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. You know, I just think, remember this. It's not hard. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What are the weapons of our warfare? Ephesians tells us that we have been given two weapons. And it's not hard. We've been given the sword, God's word, right? When the enemy is after us, we can get into his word. And the other is what? It's prayer. And similar to that, to praise. I mean, to be able to come in here. And when we come with that heart to praise, I know for me, whatever's agitating, whatever's bothering me, you know, whatever wrong thoughts, when my soul, you know, when I'm overwhelmed, man, to just open up and lift our hearts in praise, it's a healing balm, isn't it? When it's same as praying when we lift up the Lord in praise and remember these things, are reminded of how good he's been. And when he hears our prayer, you know, a lot of times he answers it in those times as we bless him and as we praise him. So Psalm 144, a psalm of David, blessed be the Lord my rock. He is going to say my. Consider, is the Lord all of these things to you? David recognizing, he says, blessed be the Lord my rock. And He isn't those things if he's not the Lord of your life. He says, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress. It is the continuation of that. Blessed be the Lord. He is my rock, my loving kindness, my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. And that idea of my enemy under me. And if he's the Lord, you know, is he your rock? And your loving kindness and your fortress, is he your grace, the chesed? Strong tower, is he the one that you run to when things get tough? Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the Son of Man, that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. You know, that isn't what God had originally planned for man, for you and for me, for man and woman. In creation, in the garden, God's plan was that Adam and Eve would walk with him in the cool of the day, really for all eternity. And that's why Christ came, is to set things right when man fell and sinned and what sin has done to the world. What is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Here's the thing. You and I are not a mistake, as evolution and modern science would suggest. You and I are not an experiment of God's. We're a creation of God, and we were created so that God could express who he is to his creation, so he could express his love. And we're going to see as we get in further that he's all-loving and he's all-gracious and all-merciful, all these things. That's why he's mindful of us, because he cares for us. He cares for his creation. And it says, bow down your hearts, or bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. And he did. And he came in the form of a man. He did not consider it, he was, he came and became like us. God became man. And it says, touch the mountains, they shall smoke, flash forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. Deceit and lying, that's pretty much all you get from our culture today. It's okay, because truth is relative. That's what they're teaching our kids, our next generation. Notice it's their right hand. That's their strength, is lying, not truth. What is God's right hand? God's right hand is the truth. God's right hand, when it talks about the right hand or the right arm of God, his strength, it's talking about the Son of God. And so God's right hand is the truth. Man's right hand is deceit and lying. I will sing a new song to you, O God, on a harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you, the one who gives deliverance, salvation to kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword. And when just a reminder, when God instructed Moses to build the tabernacle, he gave him all the measurements of all of the furnishings of the tabernacle, the poles, the rings, the outer the linen that made up the walls on the outside, the measurements and all of the materials for the building of the most holy place, and then the Holy of Holies and the bronze laver and all those different things, the altar. One thing that was not given for the tabernacle was the musicians, or the singing of praise within the tabernacle. It was David that had the heart, the sweet psalmist, that God would lead to set up the Levites, those that were gifted in music and gifted in singing. David had the heart to add them to the ministry within the tabernacle and ultimately the temple that his son Solomon would build. But he's the one that set all those things up. He was, like I said, the sweet psalmist, the one that had the heart to praise and to bring that. And it was 24/7. The music ministry in the temple, the tabernacle, when David was king, was 24/7. So there was always praise that was being lifted up in the tabernacle and the temple. Amazing. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners whose mouth speak lying words and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. It's talking about vanity, you know, and think of the world's vanity, and we talked about its values. You know, everything is about entertain me and cults of personality and everything else, what man is following. It's really kind of sad. Even a lot of the music coming out today in the name of Christian music, and some of it's good, but a lot of it is not doctrinally sound. It's, I think, to really speak to the flesh and bring about an experiential, experiential praise. But, you know, and that's because that's what the world values. Our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters, and so that our sons may be well planted, and he's going to talk about the next generation, that we're going to, the next generation is what we pass on all the things that we value. And we know that in Deuteronomy 28, God said, if you just walk in obedience, that all these blessings will be upon you, that, you know, the increase of your children, the increase of your cattle, the increase of the fields, everything else. But if you disobey me, that those things will be of no value. And so David's looking at this and what will be passed on to the next generation. The most important thing is that the next generation is rooted and grounded in God's truth. When it talks about, he says, that our daughters may be as pillars or corner pillars, cornerstones, sculptured in palace style. What he's saying is beautiful and well polished, that our, you know, that purity, that understanding of purity for our daughters, and that our sons are well grounded and rooted in what is right and what is righteous. Look at the generation that we have, that it's being brought up in America today. It scares me. And it said, you know, and what are we going to hand them? Look, we have been blessed with prosperity. I don't think that prosperity is what they're going to end up with, the way that, you know, the way America's heading right now, and what's going on in America. But for the church, we need to make sure that our sons are planted from an early age in the truth, and that our daughters, you know, that it amazes me what fathers allow their daughters to go out looking like today, and they're almost being prostituted to the world to a great extent, what they hold, you know, just the vanities of things. It says that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. You see, when the next generation isn't being raised in truth, none of those things will matter, and the end result will be just that, the outcry in the streets, and, you know, an unsafe society. When I was growing up, and even in California, we opened up, we didn't have air conditioning in our house, and it was warm in California, so we opened all the windows, left the screen door open so that if there was a breeze, it would cool down the house at night. Now we live in a society where you lock everything. We've allowed this to happen. And so much of the church has failed. That's because the church has failed. It that there be no outcry in our streets. The outcry in our streets. What is going on? I mean, it's mob rule. It is not protests. They're not protesting. They are, well, it's just dangerous. Our society is dangerous today. Happy are the people who are in such a state, not in a state of outcry or that have to lock their doors, but those who know the next generation are going to carry on in truth, that we're going to be safe from them. We're not safe from this generation coming up, and I'm not saying every one of them, but as a whole, look what's going on in our streets today. There is, I mean, they support the wrong things and wickedness. I'm not going to get into it. It is what it is, the Word of God. And so, you know, when we see these things, man, we need to be, I think a big part of it is that the church has taken for granted, you know, who we are in Christ and walking in the Holy Spirit of God, and we've allowed these things to happen. We think that it's just going to be passed on by osmosis, yet have we been living it in our own lives as an example for that next generation? What do they see in us when we're away, you know, from here? We come and we cross, you know, we fold our hands and bow our heads, but is that what our family has seen outside of here? And I've failed at times. I mean, I wanted to be consistent. My kids understood what our priority was. Our priority was the Lord and the church. And just as I said on Sunday, I will not bend to this what's going on, the woke culture that we have today. We should not bend to it. Oh, we might hurt their feelings. You know what? We're at a point where there's a lot of feelings that need to be hurt in our society, in our culture today. They do. But with this understanding that God loves them just as much as he loves us, it's our message that God cares about us, that God cares about them. They're not a mistake. They're not an experiment. It's not happenstance. Their Creator loves them just as he loves us. Psalm 145, a praise of David. And this one, worthy of adoration. What do we adore? Those things? Puppies, kittens, sleeping kids, sleeping babies, not crying babies, right? No, but you know what moves us? What draws our adoration? You know, just in life, is that the same heart that we have for the Lord? And praise, so important, you know, that time of prayer. And I was talking, you know, I was listening to Pastor Jack Hibbs, a message that he just gave to his congregation about people that, you know, during the time of praise and worship, they'll go out and they'll go talk to people, and they leave and they go here, they go there. And he finally said, he goes, look, if you're not here, you know, to praise him in adoration of who the Lord is, that is our time to draw close to him. And if that's not important to you, I mean, he flat out said, he goes, you need to go find somewhere else. And even, he goes, and I know some of you give so much money. He goes, I don't know who gives what. And I'm the same way here. He goes, I don't know who gives what, and I really don't care to. Because this time is not about who gives what and who gives the most money and what, you know, what you do for the church. the time of praise, the time that we give Him when we're here is about Him, right? What do we adore? I mean, you know, that idea. Do you come with adoration for God because of all the things that He has done? And that's what this psalm, a praise of David, the importance of praise, the importance of prayer in our lives. He says, it says, a praise of David, I will extol, I will praise you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever, on into eternity. And I will bless your name. How can we bless God? How can we bless God? It's pretty simple, because David expresses it in so many of his psalms. We bless God by coming broken in humility to adore Him, to praise Him, to seek Him, to have Him guide us in what He wants for our lives. And He says, forever and ever, every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. So forever and ever, but it's one day at a time. You know, that's not just for AA. It's for all those who follow the Lord, one day at a time. Every day I will bless you. Every day I will seek you, to praise you, and to adore you. That was David's heart. And yes, you're going to fail, and yes, right, you're going to fall. You're going to get tripped up. You're going to have some bad days. But that idea, that understanding, but every day, Lord, every day I want to praise you. You know, and it's when like I said, in the dark times, when those we're going through the tough times, that's when we need to go to Him in prayer. And I think it's just the greatest, you know, the most soothing thing is to just to spend time in praise. You know, I find myself when I'm studying or when I'm preparing and stuff, I'll just stop and I'll put on some praise music. I'll put on something that I know that you know, and just have that time of just being drawn back to Him and just being vulnerable to the Lord and His Holy Spirit. All of the doubts that I may have, you know, Lord, am I making a difference? All of this studying, all this preparing, and you know, whatever I'm going to go up with, does it even matter? You know, you start questioning things. I question things, probably just like you guys do. What's going on in our lives? Man, it's such a sweet time to just stop and to praise Him, you know. And yes, prayer is again too, but just to praise Him, to recognize who He is. It doesn't matter, you know, to a great extent. It does. I mean, I need to study to show myself approved. I know what all the scriptures say about those things. But it really doesn't matter. If I don't come up with Him in his holy, you know, if I don't come up in the Spirit of God so that He's speaking and His Word is speaking. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. I like that. And His greatness is unsearchable and unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another. There again, passing that on, you know. I hope my kids saw me praising God and serving the Lord in His Spirit more than they did than Bill in the flesh and serving myself. And shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Again, just drawn back to God, His faithfulness, His goodness, that He's, you know, in our lives. Every once in a while, I find myself just thinking back on some of the dumbest things that I ever did in my life, you know. Times that I probably should have been in jail, that he saw me through, that he covered me on. You know, God saw, I'll share this, Beth's probably watching, but you know, there was a time in our marriage, in our lives, because of my drinking and just because of my stupidity, that she finally came up to me and said, I will not live like this. And evidently she had called my mother and said, "What? You know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do for him." And my mom simply said, "You need to get him to a church, a Bible teaching church." And so that was about the time that my aunt called up and said, "My boss from McDonnell Douglas works for GM now. He goes to Calvary Chapel. Here's his phone number. Call him." That was the whole extent of my aunt's message to me. And that's what it was. That's what it was. I needed to come back and seek the Lord. But had I not, I wouldn't have the family that I have and the opportunity to pass that on to PJ and Hannah. And speaking of my aunt right now, I guess I'll be selfish. And my aunt, 4-time cancer survivor, they think she has cancer again. She's been in the hospital, and they just sent her to a rehab facility. 86 years old, loves the Lord. You know, I think she just knows that whatever this is, it's, you know, God's in control of it and stuff. But you know, will he heal her for the 5th time, or is he gonna, you know? Precious in the sight of the Lord is his saints coming home. But just if you keep her in prayer, that's just comfort, peace. The interesting thing is, it's kind of like the Three Stooges, that her different doctors there, you know, not one of them knows what the other one is doing, but she does have one doctor, Dr. Ho, that I guess hugged her and prayed for her while she was there in the bed. So God's covering her that way. You know, but the things that God's done in all of our lives and seen us through some of those things. And yeah, we've all got aches and pains, right? And he'll see us through that. But I will meditate. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. You notice he says, I will praise you. I will bless you. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise you. I will meditate on your glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. Regardless of what's going on in this world, I'm going to declare the greatness of God. We need to declare the greatness of God, how much he loves this world, regardless of how, you know, of whether it seems like they even care or even want to hear it. That shouldn't be the reason why we don't share how good God is and how much he loves this lost world. It's how much he loves us. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. And I am so grateful that he's slow to anger, because a lot of my life should have brought him to anger. I got a quick temper, you know. I wasn't even driving. I was out of my car, but another person that was driving when I was going in to get coffee pulled up right in front of the door as I was walking in, so I had to walk around the vehicle. It wasn't even a parking spot at the gas station. And I may have had something to say that I shouldn't have. He's slow to anger. He's been slow to anger in so much of my life and in your life. And great in mercy, the Lord is good to all. He's good to all. Because he's only good, and his spirit is only good. Nothing bad happening in our society and in this world is of the Lord. Only good. Now he says, I will. Now he's going to say all. He uses all constantly through this. And I think it's a reminder, we need to be reminded too, all. God, all, he's all merciful. He is good to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. We know that that is true about Jesus Christ. It was the promise that was given to David that there would be one that would be on his throne. It would be an everlasting throne. And your dominion endures throughout all generations. Even if the next generation that comes after us will not recognize or follow him, it doesn't matter because his dominion, he's still sovereign over all things. They're going to find that out. We know that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The Lord upholds all. You know, I talked about this, but we do this, and I hear about it so often is, you know, I sinned so bad, or you know, I walked away, or I wandered away so much. God doesn't want it. He won't forgive me. God doesn't want me back. Listen, he upholds all who fall, and it doesn't matter how dirty you got or how far you've fallen. And he raises up all who are bowed down. When we come with a broken and contrite spirit, he will by no means turn you away. It's coming with a broken heart, with a heart of repentance and saying, yep, my way didn't work out so well. That wasn't a very good idea. I agree with you, Lord. Your way is better. It's simple. And when we come, he says, all who are bowed down, he raises up all who are bowed down. You know, Paul said, look, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. He will exalt you. The eyes of all look expectantly to you and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. You know, what it says that, you know, he cares for the birds, how they dress, what they eat. How much more does God care for you? The Lord is righteous in all his ways. He's always righteous. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't forget. He isn't distracted. You know, oh Lord, don't you know what's going on in my life? He knows everything. And he's gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. It's pretty simple. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Listen, this is God's heart. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. When you search for me with all your heart. I think that that blesses the Lord when we seek him with all our heart, when we come to praise him. Even if we don't feel like it. All the wicked he will destroy, but no, and we read that in Ezekiel, look, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. His invitation is to every human being. Jesus Christ died efficaciously and propitiously. Those are big theological words that really irritate the one soteriology. You guys all think, man, he's smart. He didn't even go to seminary. Yeah, I read all that rigmarole. He died efficaciously and propitiously. He died his death on the cross. He died for the sin of the whole world. Every one of them. That's how it was acceptable by his Father. His sacrifice was acceptable by the Father. You know, for the sins of all those who will turn to him and accept his work on the cross. He died efficaciously and propitiously. That is our soteriology. He died for your sin and he died for my sin. The only thing that matters is, have you confessed? You know, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he's raised from the dead, he shall be saved. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word cleanse is the same idea as he will draw it out of us. Well, it says that, you know, he died for the elect. Well, confess your sins, repent before the Lord, invite him into your life, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then you're of the elect. Don't get in an argument about it. He died for all sin. He has victory over sin and death. Your decision whether or not that's true in your life. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Listen, you will admit that Jesus is who he says he is, that God loves you. You will one day. But that decision needs to be made in this life, because it says, all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. After this life, listen, you will admit it. But if you don't come to him by faith, you're just going to be acknowledging that you're wrong. If you acknowledge that you're wrong right now and repent and walk in agreement with him, then you'll be able to bless him for all eternity, forever and ever. And I went too long. And I didn't get to 146. But that's okay. Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that you are only good, that your Spirit is good. Lord, we cannot do this without you. Lord, we need you, Lord, to cause us to seek your loving kindness and to walk in your ways. Teach us, Lord, your will for our lives. Lord, the ups and the downs, it doesn't matter. Lord, in our darkest times, that we would come to you in praise and in prayer and in adoration. Because it blesses you. If anybody came here just with that guilt that maybe, Lord, they've crossed the line, they've gone too far, Lord, I pray that they would hear your heart, the thoughts that you think of them, thoughts of good. Lord, that you desire for them to just turn to you, Lord, and acknowledge your goodness. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would do that work in our lives, Lord, and those that have, Lord, in a crisis of faith maybe tonight, Lord, and Lord, There is nothing. We can't get, David said, man, if I were in the heavens, he couldn't get away with you. He went to the depths of the earth, you would be there. Lord, your spirit pursues us. And Lord, so we pray that you would move, Lord, in a fresh way with your Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. And Lord, for those hearts that are bowed down, Lord, that you would lift them up. Lord, for the hearts that are in rejoicing, Lord, and here in adoration for those, Lord, I pray that that you would just draw us into your presence, Lord, a fresh outpouring. Fill your children with your Holy Spirit, Lord. If anybody here, Lord, has never been baptized in your Spirit, I pray that even now, Lord, that it wouldn't be by my manipulation or anything else, Lord, but if they ask, Lord, if they want that power in their lives to serve, to walk in obedience, Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit now. Lord, we need you desperately. We cannot, with what's going on in this world, the sign of the times, Lord, the overriding evil, Lord, that is guiding this culture and this society, Lord, this death cult, Lord, we desperately need you, Lord, not only to protect, to be our fortress, to be our strong tower, but also, Lord, to be a shining light in this darkness, Lord. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us everything that we need and that you would answer every prayer, Lord, and that you would be blessed as we go out, as we praise you. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.